everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 181 for Friday, April 18th, 2014. Welcome to the show. I'm having a good day, and that's not something I say every day. What?
Nothing.
My kids just showed up here in the office. Like, I was sitting here watching the SpaceX launch, thinking, damn, my youngest would love that. She loves little rocket launches. I don't know why, but she does, and they're cool. It'd be cool if she was here to see it, and all of a sudden she pops in the door. It was very kind of freaky. It's kind of how my life goes, actually, just weird stuff like that.
See if you can think about how great it would be for a bag full of $100 bills to be in Jerry's house.
No, that's not what I was thinking. Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody.
Howdy. Without a bag of $100 bills.
Got Alex Doby in England.
Hey, everyone.
And Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
Hey, how's it going?
And if it's your first time joining us, welcome. Glad to have you. If it's like your 181st time joining us, welcome back. If anyone out there has listened to all 181 shows, and to be perfectly honest, I think I've missed a couple. The ones that I'm not on.
Let us know if you've decoded the secret message in every single podcast.
And that's not counting like the weird special editions and shows from events and... Man, that's a lot of episodes, a lot of talk about Android. Should we change it up? Should we start talking about something else? No?
WebOS?
It wouldn't be very interesting.
Fine.
I have to be honest.
All right, fine. We will talk about Android again today, one more time. Not one last time, one more time. So where do you guys want to start? We finally got our Galaxy S5 review out the door. It feels like finally. It's only been a week.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Finally is probably not the best word.
It's been a long build, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a long time because we got this end of February in Barcelona. It's been a month and a half up to release, and then of course we've had devices, and it's just now getting towards putting together our final thoughts on it.
I don't want to say final thoughts. We'll still have thoughts.
Our initial thoughts.
I was looking at the list of things to, you know, still cover, because kind of what we did was the review is like this big encapsulation of the phone and what we think about it and you know, do we recommend it, blah, blah, blah. But there's so much going on in this thing, and we're going to break it all down feature by feature. But geez, I mean, there are, even for as much as Samsung pared back, you know, on the UI and the features and stuff, there is still a whole lot going on this phone.
Well, I think that they kind of did pare back in that it's not all in your face like it was before, but it's still there. It's just you have to go and look for it now. You open up the settings menu, you have all these circular icons that, you know, all the various things that you can turn on and tweak and fiddle with on this phone. So it's all there. It's just arranged maybe a little bit more sensibly, but certainly is even more feature-packed than any other Samsung phone.
I want to hear from Andrew, because he's had one for all of like 36 hours now, maybe.
Not even. Right, so I could totally write my own review.
That's right. I want your rebuttal by tomorrow morning.
So I've had it, you know, 36 hours or whatever. My initial thoughts, I read through Alex's final review after seeing some of the draftiness of it. And I think I can agree with about 95% of it. He's actually pretty on point based on what I'm seeing. I think I could, you know, the biggest thing for me is that you still have a lot of that, I don't want to say unnecessary stuff, but just a lot of stuff to get through. And of course, that's not something you can all go through in 24 hours or, you know, even 3-4 days. But it's kind of like you hop into the settings and there's just dots everywhere, just buttons and buttons and buttons and buttons. And there's two or three different ways to get every single thing done. And now that might be pared down from like 5 or 6 ways to do every single thing from before, but it's still... looks like a good step in the right direction in terms of, you know, simplifying the UI, but it has a long ways to go. In terms of hardware, though, I think that this is the soft touch and the materials, it's just a lot better put together, and it feels right in the hand, even though it's, you know, on the larger side of what I would like. I'm actually really enjoying just, you know, holding it and being able to pick up and swipe through the UI. It's just, you know, you don't feel like you're going to drop it or anything like that. And I think that that's something that Samsung has pretty much always had going for it.
what is the, you know, the 5% that you disagree, the 5% that you want to say, Alex, you were dead wrong, you're an idiot?
Well, I mean, I didn't go that far at all. Okay. I mean, I think...
Was that just me?
I almost think that the part that I can disagree with is that I think Alex maybe even went a little easy on Samsung in terms of how far they've actually come in the software. I think that, you know, Alex is just a nice, proper gentleman and doesn't want to be too rude.
British.
Right. But, I know. I read the whole review kind of in my head in a British accent. It helps you out a lot. It's just there are a lot of things that Samsung doesn't deserve praise for. Just, you know, flattening the menu. I don't think that that's...
You're wrong.
Cool
about that,
and all.
You're wrong, and you're an idiot. Back at least 1% for that.
So that
I disagree with 95% of everything you just said. Right. I think this is sort of a thought process I went through myself in looking at Samsung software and trying to work out whether they'd actually, you know, whether they'd redesigned it or whether they'd just taken a rolling pin to everything. I think there are elements of both. In certain instances, like the stock apps, the SMS app, sure, it's basically the same, but without any of the sort of 3D style edges, without the embossing that you had on previous versions of TouchWiz. But I think if you look at apps like sHealth, the more sort of multimedia focused ones, there's a definite push towards a more, I want to say, googly design, a more sort of, you're focusing on menu overflows, on having a bar up top, having the hamburger menu on the side. Just that kind of thing that makes it look a little bit more consistent overall and like it was designed with sort of an overall vision in mind. And that doesn't apply to the whole of TouchWiz, but it does apply to an awful lot of it.
I absolutely agree. And that sHealth app, other than the fact that it implies exercise and fitness, I think it's great. I mean, it looks beautiful. It's easy to find your way around. I tell you what's really impressive about that is the calorie counter, but the food tracker. The list of just products and food that you can input into this thing are incredible. I mean, it's huge.
Well, so my thing is that sHealth was beautiful and useful on the Note 3 too. That, you know, this is not something, you know, of the S5, you know, a feature of the S5 that was just announced with the S5 that's so great. I'm kind of talking overall, right, some of its new apps that it designed, you know, from scratch in this new... I don't know, their newer design language look great, but like Alex said, and some of the older apps, it's hard to think that it's a resource issue. They just haven't gone through and, you know, touched these apps all the way down to the nitty gritty and started them over. So everything kind of feels a little disjointed when you move between apps and you move in the interface. You know, the launcher still has a lot of long presses and weird ways to add apps to folders and weird ways to change the wallpaper. And it just, you know, I wish that everything was designed as well as, you know, sHealth is.
That's probably a fair comment. I think that the move, another thing I don't really understand is the move towards this, their main sort of accent color is this weird off teal, this darkened off teal color that's kind of a dark blue, a dark green, but not quite. I mean, I guess there are battery life advantages to having dark colors on AMOLED screen, but it just... I think when you put that style next to the new sHealth style or some of the other apps that are in that style, it just doesn't really, I think you're right, it is maybe not necessarily disjointed, but it just doesn't look as good.
You know what I see? And granted, I don't have an S5, but I've played with one and been talking with Alex and Phil for a week. The Galaxy S7 is going to be really good. I'm serious. Yeah. Samsung, I get the feeling that Samsung finally realized they need to do something with their software, and they're perfectly capable. They've touched everything. It may seem a little disjointed, and some of it works better than others, but they've got in there and they've touched everything. That means that they're working on it.
Make a note, April 2016, Jerry called it.
They eventually, anybody that had an Evo 3D or any HTC phone from that era knows that Sense really sucked. HTC Sense was really, really bad. Now it's not. You may not like it. You may wish, you know, it wasn't there. But as far as an operating system, it's fluid. The features all work. They're thoughtful. If HTC can do it, Samsung can do it probably better.
It's come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I wouldn't want to use a phone with TouchWiz still. I have seen it enough to know that if I'm buying my phone for me and my phone I'm going to keep in my pocket, it probably wouldn't be the S5 just because TouchWiz is on it and it's still a little more than I want. But like I said, the Galaxy S7 is probably going to be a really good phone as far as the operating system goes.
I want to pick nits for a second. One of the things, you know, I hate to call it a feature, but what they've done with the multitasking button and secondary menu function of it is just, I'm not blame happy Google. With it. If you haven't seen it, we did a post on it earlier this week or last week. I mean, there is a menu button on the GS5, right? It's just hidden. It's hidden behind, we now have a proper multitasking key, and hidden behind that, if you long press it in any app, if there's, you know, a menu that's not properly designed, let's preface that, right? The old legacy design where you would have these three little dots on a Nexus device or on the new HTC One, because HTC finally did something about it, you know, holding down the recent apps, the multitask button will trigger that, and you'll get the menu pops up, and that's just, it's not okay to hide something. First, it's not okay for these legacy apps to not update themselves. That has to happen, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, these are apps that if I'm using it for the first time, I have no idea, you know, like how to get to it or that it's even there. And that's inexcusable, I think.
Well, it does tell, the phone does tell you when you first press
one time.
One time. Okay, one time.
Well, like you said, you can't get on the third-party developers. I mean, you can, but you can't get on Samsung for the third-party developers not having coded the apps, you know.
Yeah, it's been 2.5 years now.
Right. But it's not Samsung's fault that the third-party developers don't have things set up right. But what you can blame Samsung for is when, you know, the launcher itself requires a long press on the menu button to pull up the setting the multitasking button to pull up the settings. You know, that's just they can fix that. And we got on LG, you know, when they do their soft menu button and everything. This is a little bit worse even because it, you know, it hides it again.
My question is, what's the alternative? Because in this kind of setup, it's basically that, or you have an on-screen menu bar, which we all complained about with HTC a few years back.
What I would do for the alternative is, if your app is going to create the three-dot button or require the use of a menu key, it's not compatible with phones that don't have a menu button, and you lose money as a developer. Go away.
Jerry needs to write that. Write that down. Put it on the website.
That sounds harsh, and I am a full advocate for developers, especially for the Android platform. But my God, I've seen how what is required to change it. And for 90% of the apps out there, it looks like a 1 week project to get rid of all that crap. Granted, something very complicated is going to be a whole different situation, but there's no need for, you know, an RSS scraper app for your favorite website to require a damn menu key.
I'm looking at apps that I use frequently to see which one, you know, to see which ones have a legacy menu button. See GroundLink, which is a car service I use. Delta.
A lot of airline apps seem to be behind the times.
Yeah. And I get that they have a lot of IT on the back end, right? And they've got to be careful with that stuff. But
well, GroundLink is actually the app I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
The way GroundLink works, and I've not seen the source code for the app. I can't see how it would be difficult to just put an overflow at the top or the hamburger menu in and get rid of that crap. GroundLink, fix your stuff.
We should just do a big list of so-and-so, fix your stuff.
Android Central list of shame.
Yes. Who else? That might be all from like my.
It's some games often, because you don't have to use it all that often. You still see it pop up.
Mm-hmm. The worst ones are on the games on the old HTC One, where you'd actually lose a portion of the screen in the game because it would require a menu button which did nothing.
Right.
And
you can't do that, which is pretty bad.
Everybody ragged on HTC for that, and it was HTC following the guidelines. that got them in trouble.
I want to talk about Sonos in a few minutes, but the Sonos app is legacy. How about that?
Hmm.
How about that, boys and girls?
I followed some
fixer stuff.
I followed some friendly advice and started a little Sonos fund, but if they can't build an app, maybe I'll stop putting money into it.
I need to see. They've got a big beta program going, and I haven't tried their beta app yet. I guess I should do that. But fix your stuff. The camera is also, you know, that's the big daddy of this phone, I think. I mean,
it's a camera of extremes, really, I think. It's absolutely awesome. It's one of the best cameras I've used in daylight. But like we were saying before the podcast starts, it gets past about 5 or 6 p.m. and low light just doesn't translate so well with the 16 megapixel ISO cell camera they've got going on. You could argue why that might be from a technical reason, but what it means is that you just get low light. There's a point sort of lighting wise where you just lose image quality to the point where it looks just like a horrible blotchy mess. Mm-hmm. And it might look okay on the phone screen, but when you blow it up to full size, it just doesn't really, it's just doesn't match up with other flagship level phones really. But if you're only using it in daylight, then you'll take awesome pictures all day.
But
yeah.
I mean, it's still a better camera than the M8, right? Right?
I don't know. I think maybe the balance, but I think the M8 is perhaps more consistent, even though probably overall the image quality is worse in daylight. I don't know. It's very situational. I think it depends how you're going to be using your camera.
Bingo. When it's daytime outside, Phil makes me stay in my house. I don't need a camera that takes good pictures outside in the sun because I'm never outside in it.
What were you using for the flower pictures you were taking yesterday?
The iPhone 5S.
Really?
And if you want to start talking about smartphone cameras and you're an Android fan, I will break your heart.
It's still really good, isn't it?
It's still better than any Android phone that I've had the pleasure to use, except maybe the G2 under a few circumstances.
I think a lot of smartphone photography has to do with you as a photographer.
Yep.
And how you compose the shot. I think I still compose pictures better than my wife does, just because I take more pictures for this job and, you know, whatever. But the ones that she takes are just, they're clear with her eye, and she's using a 5S. And you can, I love, you know, my composition, but she beats me on quality.
Do you know what I found? And I'm using one specifically to look at the camera right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about which camera is the best. I need to.
Oh, absolutely.
The iPhone 5S does something that no other Android phone does except maybe the M8. Point it at something, hit the button, and your picture's clear. There may be issues with the photograph. It may be slightly exposed wrong, or the color rendering may be a little off. Not all pictures are perfect, but every one of them is in focus. Just point and click the button, and it takes a picture quickly. That's something HTC has figured out how to do. You may not like a lot of the image quality outside of the focus on the M8, but there is if Apple can do it, Samsung can do it, HTC.
Well, Samsung kind of is doing it. They've got the new autofocus technology. I forget the actual name, but they worked on that this time around. I'm sure Andrew and Phil will know that just taking a picture generally outside, even with HDR on, is absolutely instant on the S5. Mm-hmm.
There's no difference in shutter lag on HDR, which is kind of crazy.
Pretty much, yeah. It's exactly the same as it is on the iPhone. But, I mean, the problem with low light stems, I think, mostly from the fact that to get decent quality in it, you have to load up this stabilization mode, which means you have to stand there, and it'll wait around until things are stable enough that you won't, you know, just have a horrible blurry shot. But at the same time, that means you're... You know, it's far, far from the instant experience that you'd be getting just taking normal photos.
And it is no substitute for real OIS in the camera either.
No, no.
All that extra, the extra pixels and everything doesn't matter at all when you're trying to do. Basically, all it does is just warms you to keep your phone stable, which is fine. But if there's no hardware to back that up, it still takes a bad picture.
Even the 5S, which I was sitting here praising the camera. If you take your time, frame your shot, I have not been able to get a picture out of the 5S that's near as good as a picture I can get out of the G2. and that's because I'm 100% certain of the image stabilization built in. It may take longer to take the picture. It's not as convenient, and I don't like it as much, but the picture quality is much better on the G2 under a lot of situations than even the 5S. So it's what do you want from your camera?
I think maybe the saving grace for the GS5 in low light is that the way things work right now, you get images that are blotchy and blurry, but not necessarily grainy. So potentially what they might be able to fix in software is maybe crank the ISO up a little bit. Okay. And just have a situation where you have a more, up the sensitivity a little bit, and maybe you capture a little bit faster and you get better looking images. We'll see.
And that's why we're even talking about the iPhone, because the Samsung camera has to, it's directly competing against the iPhone camera.
Absolutely, yeah.
So Samsung, and if we know that maybe if they boost the ISO, you'll have better definition in your pictures with a little more grain, but since there's no grain, it can stand to have a little. If we know this, Samsung knows it.
Yeah. And there's no grain. Well, there's not necessarily no grain. There's very little grain. If they're working with a 16 megapixel sensor, then they've got some room there to, for most people who are going to be viewing it on a smaller screen. So you're going to lose some of that graininess when you downscale.
And we have had the pleasure of seeing all of Alex's pictures, B-roll pictures that weren't intended for the blog, just pictures he takes. The Galaxy S5 throws out some absolutely beautiful pictures.
Yeah.
But it also throws out some dark, ugly pictures, and you wonder, there's got to be a middle ground.
And I think there are a lot of Android phones, and obviously the iPhone as well, that occupy that middle ground. We had kind of a segue here. We got a new camera app for the Nexus 5 this week, which I think shows that camera in a new light, and that's maybe a little bit more consistent, maybe more towards the middle ground than the GS5, mm-hmm. which is almost sort of tragic in a way that you have these amazing daylight shots, but you take it out at night, and it's just a completely different world.
It's funny, actually, through all this. I flipped over to Facebook on the other monitor real quick, and there's a mommy friend I know who just, she and her husband switched from the iPhone to a Galaxy S5, both of them. And it's been interesting to listen to them as they hop mm-hmm. from one to the other. But I can't help but wonder if the Nexus 5 had launched with this camera app, and I know it didn't exist, we're imagining here in a perfect world, how much would that have changed your opinion of the Nexus 5?
It's hard to say, because part of the reason why Google Camera on the Nexus 5 looks so awesome is that we know the tragedy of the previous interface and how, there might be a little bit of placebo going on, but I notice faster focus, faster capture speeds, and it moves between regular and HDR shots in the different modes quicker. And that's, that's goes a long way to improving the overall camera experience. I mean, I don't think that the end image quality is just night and day better or anything like that. You can't really do too much with just an app install, but I mean, it definitely would have helped the Nexus 5, perception of the camera, which is not very high. Just it's kind of stuck around since it came out, the not have a very high bar set for it, but I don't think it would have, changed anybody's mind dramatically.
See, I was always thinking the Nexus 5 camera was probably one of the most underrated parts of it. I mean, mm-hmm. you had issues with speed for sure. The autofocus was wonky out of the box, but the quality of images you could get with that, especially with HDR Plus turned on, were pretty impressive. In daylight, you got super crisp edges in HDR Plus mode. In night shots, you got some really nice looking shots because the combination of HDR Plus and OIS meant you could leave the shutter open for longer. You get these beautifully sort of balanced shots of plenty of detail and not a lot of grain. And actually, in a lot of instances, I think, especially with the new app, you're probably getting better low light shots out of a Nexus than you are with the GS5.
Oh yeah, it's not even on the same level.
Mm. So then, let's rank Android cameras at this point. Best
for what?
Just pick one. It doesn't matter. Best what?
Just nobody pick one. Does. M8.
All right.
M8.
Haven't used the M8, so I say G2.
I would probably go with any of the three Sony cameras that use their 20 megapixel sensor, so the Z1, the Z2, and the Z1 Compact.
So even after all that, we still can't come to a consensus. Right. That's I like that.
I mean, it puts me on the fence with the Nexus 5, mostly because the speed isn't really there in terms, you know, if anything's moving or you're trying to capture, you know, somebody, you know, a car driving by or somebody riding by a bike or a kid running around in a yard, the Nexus 5 just can't do that. And that's kind of, you know, that's a big portion of what people take pictures of. If it could step that up a little bit, which it seems to have with the Google camera update, it would be a little higher for me, but I just think it comes up short there, unfortunately.
By the way, we haven't talked at all about the Gear Fit and the Gear 2 watches. We've got more coming on that. I've got them all here. Was I going to send any of you guys one? I think I was. I don't remember.
I don't know. I think you should put them all on at one time.
Mega review, 4 watches at the same time.
No, we absolutely have more coming on that. I still love the idea of being able to wear these things and exercise without having a phone in your pocket to listen to music. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I've been wearing the Gear off and on, or the Gear Fit off and on for a week now. It's not uncomfortable. I think they did a nice job on the fit. It's just, it's big. It's really thick, especially compared to the... I'm having a hard time going between the Fit and Pebble Steel just because they look so different.
But make it work with other phones, damn it.
Yes. Yes.
It's a non-starter for a whole hell of a lot of people.
I don't disagree.
I think that argument is probably more valid with something like the Fit, where it is very fitness-focused, to the point where it isn't... You know, the original Gear was always marketed as a companion for a Samsung phone, whereas I think it's easy to position the Fit as like just this standalone fitness thing. I don't know. We've seen people hack the Gear Manager or the Gear Fit Manager onto other phones, so it can be done. It's a question of whether Samsung can do it. I guess firstly, whether Samsung wants to do it, and if they can, whether they can do it in a way that fits elegantly into some other manufacturer's ecosystem.
Well, all I know is I liked the original Gear. Laugh at me if you want. I can do without the camera, but once they got the notifications sorted out, I liked that big screen, big, colorful, nice screen. If I could use that with my Nexus, I would have one right now. I would use it.
It's really pretty, and the notifications have gotten so much better. Absolutely.
But the only phone I have that I can use it with is the Note 3, and I'm not carrying the Note 3 right now.
How are you finding portrait mode, Phil?
You mean the vertical that I'm not using right this second?
Yeah.
It's the better way to do it. It's funny, you still find just little things that aren't quite right when that happens. And there are little things in the UI, I don't know if you can see it here, but like where it says notifications, see how that's butting up against the edge of the screen? That's just weird. Like it shouldn't do that. And it's the only one that they're just little things like that. They can sort that out. That's fine.
You showed us how text wraps in vertical mode when you get an email or something. It's one word per line and odd stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know, you're just gonna kind of have to live with that. I tell you, it's standby time on this thing is awesome though. Like if you're not actively using it all day, you can get 5, 6, 7 days out. I mean, maybe not quite that long, but a long time. Yeah, it is not a bad device. It's still pretty expensive at $200. Is that what it is too, for the Fit? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a pretty big barrier to entry, right? If they can get that down a little bit, I think it would make a big difference. So I'm going to play with this and then the watches some more over the next week or so, because we still have so much to write about with this phone and these devices. And we have plenty of time to do it. They're not going anywhere. We're in week one right here. So it's good to remember. So that's it for those, I think. The Google camera app, that is a big deal. What about Chrome Remote Desktop? This is kind of a nerdy thing, but it's very cool and actually pretty important, I think.
It's something that I use every day from my Chromebook over to my Mac. But to have it on, you know, it's even a little more specialized to have it on your tablet or your phone. But it seems to work pretty darn well. And it's something that's super easy to set up. You just install a Chrome extension, and then, you know, install the app. You enter a PIN and you're connected to your home computer. It's just like other remote desktops. It's really dependent on your connection speed at home and where you're at, especially if you're out of the house and not on the same network. But, you know, there's no subscription fees. There's no crazy stuff to do. It's just there. And the people that need this kind of stuff are, you know, going crazy over this one, I think.
It's us, right, basically.
Right.
Yes. Before, if I was out of the house, there were a few things I could do on the website with my Nexus 7. You know, I could edit a few things if I saw a typo in a post or wanted to post something. But once you got to doing anything real, and you all know what I'm talking about, maybe the listeners don't, and this is a bad example, but you couldn't do it from Chrome on the tablet. Now I can use actual Chrome running on my desktop in a window on my tablet, and I could do anything I wanted to do just as if I was doing it from home. That's a big deal for a lot of people.
And for me, the biggest things that I'm doing is, you know, oh, there's a picture that I forgot to put on Dropbox, so it's not available, or I didn't move these folders around or sync them up the way I need them. And, you know, going home and doing it isn't the most time efficient thing. If you can just open this up, switch things over, and then, you know, go back to working in whatever app, that's, you know, you're not going to sit there, you know, at the coffee shop with a Nexus 7 with a keyboard and, you know, use your home desktop. It's just not efficient at all. But for the few things you need to do, I found that it's worked really well, especially, you know, from my Chromebook, but, you know, now on a tablet too.
Yep. Even for as much as in the cloud, and we work probably in the cloud more than a lot of people, but there are still times when there might be something on this computer here in the office that I need to get or just dump or whatever. You know, and I can very quickly do that. Love it. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to answer some Q&A since we've kind of ignored that so far?
Yes.
Jump in.
Do it.
Ben asks, Google Play Edition Galaxy S5, will it retain the fingerprint scanner much like the M8 GPU retained? Or, you know, are Google Play Editions causing even more fragmentation? Had to bring up the F word, huh?
I think probably a good question is whether those two features might prevent there from being a Google Play Edition S5.
Or does Samsung even want those features to be available?
Right, or they just give up?
Google S5.
That's a good question.
I mean,
you know what? I'm going to go on record and say probably not.
Something like the fingerprint scanners baked in really deeply into the phone to be able to provide authentication for payments, that I would definitely see there being too many changes needing to be made to the Google Play Edition for that. I mean, something like the camera app or Beats Audio or whatever, those don't have to go as deep as a fingerprint scanner.
And remember, right now, we don't actually know if there will be a Google Play Edition.
Yeah, and that's my point. I think if the point for Samsung is just early code, they're already on that boat for, 2 years with the GS4. So maybe there isn't much incentive this time around for them to release another GPE only a year after the last one.
Adal has an interesting question. I remember the Galaxy S5 came with $500 worth of freemium apps. Did you guys find anything useful? So funny story about this. And yes, they're calling them Galaxy Gifts. You can see here they're in the Samsung App Store. So funny story. I get an email the other day and end up on a phone call with Damon Wayans, you know, from In Living Color, among other things, the actor. Really nice guy, and he is actually developing apps, and we saw him at the Samsung Developer Conference in December in San Francisco. And, you know, he was in Barcelona apparently at Mobile World Congress promoting his app. So we chatted for 20 minutes about these things. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there, not just his apps, but you know, it starts with Evernote, Bloomberg Businessweek, Box, Map My Run, GPS, Cut the Rope 2, PayPal. Although, why PayPal is a gift?
They're all upsell things that give you, you know, 3 months free of a subscription or something like that. So there's no, like,
Kindle is in there. Why is the Kindle app in there?
Right. There's no $10 or $15 app that's just now free for having a GS5. It's okay, you get 3 months of Evernote free, and then you have to pay like everybody else.
Kindle, you get a free book every month through Samsung book deals. Absolutely worth, you know, looking through these.
And to be fair, it's not all just free trials for like 6 or 3 months or whatever. There are stuff in there is some stuff in there that's more like a year or 2 years of service. I think Dropbox still gives you 50 gigs for 2 years, for instance.
Wall Street Journal, 6 months free.
That's probably most of the $500 right there.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to think because actually I pay for it and I
There's a lot of there's a lot of like $5 or $10 subscriptions in there. You know, you have a couple months of each one. There's 500.
We have a post on the blog where I broke down everything and gave the price.
Cool.
So if you all really need to know that, you can search it out. It's there.
Damon
because
Wayans
Samsung sent us a little something about it.
Damon Wayans' app in there in the gifts is FlickDat, which is like
a business card.
Like you flick the card to somebody else to give it to them. It's kind of cool.
Do you know how cool it is that you talked to Damon Wayans?
It was very cool. I was like running around the office telling people. Yeah, I was that guy.
Yeah, I probably would have been too.
No, he was super nice. And he's like, look, you know, I do this stuff and people think, hey, it's Homie the Clown, whatever. But it's like, I had to learn this stuff to do it. You know, for him, it's like, it's almost like film and TV production where he's producing an app. And he's like, I had to learn about SDKs and APIs. And I got to go to Singapore and Beijing and stuff to, you know, work with the developers in India. And no, it's really, you know, we talked for 20 minutes. It's not like I know the guy. But, you know, I mean.
Oh, come on. Now you can say.
Yeah, we're tight. We're tight.
My good friend Damon.
Sound like my wife now. So, yeah, I mean, a whole bunch of apps in there. So that's pretty cool. Brian wants to know, the OnePlus One invite system, hypebeasting or the greatest troll ever? If you haven't seen, OnePlus One is the, quote, never settle phone, only you will now have to settle for an invite system if you want a phone when it is first released. I get why they're doing it, right? That's how you control supply and demand. That's how they can, you know, keep better control over how many of these things they have to make, because nothing will kill you quicker than making too many and being unable to sell them almost as quickly as not being able to make them at all when somebody wants them. So I get what they're doing, but don't blow smoke in my eyes with this invite thing. Just take pre-orders like normal people.
And quit saying never settle. And they say that it's more democratizing than, you know, having sales go up at 12:01 and, you know, there's a mad rush. Well, this is kind of the same thing, though, by, you know, rolling it out to a select number of people. It's just a more randomly selected number of people.
It's a different kind of randomness. It isn't necessarily any more democratizing.
No, not at all. And I understand that they probably can't scale the same, you know, they can't launch in 120 countries simultaneously, you know, like Samsung did. But there are ways that are consumer friendly and, you know, maybe you wait a while and produce more. I mean, I think it's more of a, they know that they can't just go out and make 5 million of them up front because, you know, the money is not there. And they're trying to just spin it. And that's, you know, everybody can kind of see through that.
I just know this is going to backfire. That OnePlus One better be the damn best phone that was ever created and better do my laundry, cook my meals, because I'm not going to settle.
Look, and we're normally for a first, it's not even a U.S. launch. I mean, it's whatever. They're launching it. They're going to do an event in San Francisco, and we're going to go. We're going to spend money and send somebody there.
I will be there.
Yep. Well, we need to.
No,
because
we absolutely should.
It's an interesting concept. Maybe we don't like the PR as much as.
No, and fine. And you know what? That's inside baseball.
Right.
You know, and there are plenty of times for the mainstream manufacturers and carriers that I have plenty of, you know, we call it the game, right? Plenty of things to complain about the game. That's not the phone's fault. So when when you're reviewing the phone, you have to let all that go.
I hope it knocks it out of the park. I hope Mr. Kondik and company I hope they're the next Samsung. That's what I hope.
Don't give me this never settle stuff. And
right. They've already kind of promised me that it will be. So if it's not.
Yeah.
Ryan, we'll see. I mean, I think the whole point with the never settle stuff, which is to get people talking, which it succeeded in doing.
Exactly.
If, you know, there are compromises in every phone. Of course, there can be compromises in the OnePlus One as well. So we'll have to see.
Ryan wants to know when Damon Wayans will be on the podcast.
Dude, you know what? Make that happen.
Peter S., do you think Samsung is losing momentum? The reviews of the Galaxy S5 are not that good. I don't think it matters what the reviews are. Honestly.
Yeah.
They're going to sell a bunch of these things.
Yep.
I think reviews are important to do. I mean, obviously, I think that. It's our job. But I think just as important, you know, more so, is the marketing and the positioning within the carrier stores, whether mm-hmm. it's whether it's you know where they are physically in the store. When you first walk in, what do you first see? It's the training of the salespeople. It's the education of the salespeople for this device versus this device. I mean, that's the stuff that I think makes or breaks it, especially in the U.S. I don't know about everywhere else, but here, which is what I know, that's what makes the difference, not what I write. What I write will help sway somebody, I think. And granted, I think probably most of the people who are coming to the website, the hardcore people reading the website, they've already made up their minds. They know what they want. That's why we get, you know, the comment streams that we get.
And we don't matter. The people reading the website, we love you all. But for every person that stands up and says, oh, the Galaxy S5, that's kind of a letdown. There's 100 other people saying, whoa, check out this cool phone I just got. Look at all this stuff it can do. And then other people saying, oh, I hope Verizon sells that. And then they go off and look for it. That's what we need to keep in mind, that we're critical, but that doesn't mean that the average consumer is critical. They sort of love Galaxy phones.
And again, it doesn't mean it's a bad phone. And you know what? They're still selling a whole bunch of GS4s and 3s for that matter.
3s even.
It's funny when people worry about how many stories we do in a week on the GS5. This phone's going to be around for the next 2 years. Yeah, we got lots of time. Lots of time.
I think there's maybe an idea behind that you have what is basically a very kind of normal, you know, I don't want to say pedestrian, but a high-end smartphone, just like a lot of others, that is being sort of propelled to this superstar status by just a hell of a lot of marketing money.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily good or bad. That's just the way it works.
Thank you.
Put enough money behind it, you can sell anything.
That's what I wanted to say, is we can say those kind of things and they're true, but don't ever think we're saying it doesn't deserve to be a superstar phone or that it should be a superstar phone. Truth and feelings are two separate things.
And when you have something that sells in this amount, it takes a long time for any kind of public perception to change as well. You know, like Phil said, with the S3 even still selling in bucket loads, and S4 especially, you know, as it can drop down to free on contract or whatever in the U.S., it takes a long time before people have had these phones for a year or 2 years, and then they're recommending or not recommending them to people. And, you know, there's a delayed response to the Super Bowl ads, you know, because there's a, you know, a recall down the line about, you know, oh yeah, that's the Galaxy phone or whatever. You know, it's not all about just the release 1 week and then it's decided, you know, this is going to go on for a long time.
And I think that's why you see these iterative changes from year to year. I mean, when you have this one gigantic sell cycle, why would you want to interrupt that with something totally different, completely and utterly different? I mean, just wouldn't, I wouldn't do it. Our friend Sachin, he said I almost had it last week. I was close. Are there any features, hardware, or software that you wish the Galaxy S5 had? Any that you could do without? P.S. Here's how to say my name. Sachin Bahal. Oh, sorry. Most say it. Fine. I'm close. I'm getting there, man. I'm trying.
We're going to have to turn voicemail back on so we can hear it again.
I don't need the fingerprint scanner. Just not necessary at all. I don't need the heart rate sensor at all.
I think in terms of stuff that I maybe wish it would have, I think it would be really interesting to see how this camera did maybe with OIS, if that would perhaps fix the issues that they're having in low light. But that's kind of a very deep down technical thing.
I would say that I could do without the super chrome plastic rim around the sides, mostly from, you know, like blinding me if there's, you know, light from the wrong side. And it pulls away from the screen because the screen is really, really nice. And then you have this, you know, the weird chrome that's just bouncing light all over the place. And then I would say also, just take the fingerprint scanner out. It just does not work well enough to be a selling point. I'm ready to go back to a pattern unlock like I do on every other phone because I'm tired of typing in my auxiliary password. It just doesn't work. it just doesn't work enough.
I'm going to go all nerdy.
If the Chrome trim is bad, you want to try the white version where it's just white plastic around the screen, and it's just totally impossible to look at the screen because you just have this glowing white aura around it.
I want to see a second gyroscope. Samsung can do it if anybody can do it.
What
two gyroscopes in the same phone, how much better the tilt sensitivity will be for games?
I'm going to say it. Get rid of the SD card.
Hey, I've been saying it for years, and all it brings is a world of hate. Now it's your turn.
I don't need it. You know, give me the 32 gigabytes as the minimum, and then get rid of the SD card.
But Samsung wants to sell you an SD card.
Don't care.
Well,
Samsung
cares, yes.
They want to sell Alex a USB 3 cable, too.
Right.
Yeah, they want to give me a USB 2 cable and sell me the most expensive.
And that reminds me that I also just want wireless charging out of the box, please.
Yeah. I'm going to be really interested to see if there is any size difference with the wireless charging pack, because if there isn't, then the fact that they're not just including it is just a money grab, obviously.
I want to take what Phil said and go a step further. Is yes, 32 gig is the starter model, but make 128 gigabyte Galaxy S5s with no SD card too, and nobody will complain. They'll give you an extra $200 for it. I know they will.
I think it was almost looking like last year we had the M7, and later on the year the Note 3 with 32 as standard, like we were moving towards that, but it's been this odd step back this year where we're now at a situation where 30 to 16 is the default, and in a lot of countries it's difficult to come by anything besides the 16 because they just don't sell the 32 because people don't ask for it. Or people don't know to ask for it.
Yep.
Here's a good one. Christopher asks, is a Nexus 4 worth upgrading at this point? And he's running AOKP on it. That's a good question. I still like the Nexus 4. I still like the design. I still wish LG had tried to continue that, what do they call it, the crystal reflective process from the back that they did on the original Optimus G, just the G. And I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Really, if you don't need a stellar camera or LTE, the Nexus 4 runs amazingly and does everything you want it to do. I mean, I would still be using one today if the Nexus 5 wasn't so cheap to upgrade to and drastically better. I mean, why spend more money? You know, the Nexus 4 was already cheap. You've already got your money's worth. You're just free-rolling at this point until something amazing comes along to blow your socks off.
Yeah, I think maybe with the whole Nexus thing, you're probably waiting on the next one at this point. Because I think... You'll get LTE, you'll get a better camera with the Nexus 5. Hopefully with the next one, it'll maybe be a bit more of a step forward in terms of battery life as well. We can hope. And, of course, we're probably like 5 months out from the next one anyway.
And I have a gut feeling that the next Nexus is going to introduce features that the operating system upgrade will require a newer phone. I really think we're going to see a shift where Android 5 won't work as written on even the Nexus 5.
Even after all this, hey, it works better on...
Well, I think we're going to see two versions. I think we're going to see a 32-bit and a 64-bit version. I think we're going to see just what Apple did. And if you have a Nexus 4 now, keep the dang thing until November. Because if the Nexus 6 is a 64-bit and Android 5 is 64-bit, you'll kick yourself if you bought a Nexus 5 a month after.
The question, Jerry, is who has a 64-bit CPU in November? Because Qualcomm's not got anything until next year. Samsung is kind of a bit of a wild card. Is it NVIDIA?
They have already got one. You know, it's not been released yet, but it's there. Partners are using it. I know the relationship between Google and NVIDIA, sometimes it feels a little strained, but if NVIDIA could deliver a 64-bit chip that works well with radios from somebody, whether they be NVIDIA's own radios or somebody else's, it's kind of foolish not to take it and go.
And it also gives people, I guess, if 64-bit is going to be that next big thing, it lets people, you know, it gets them on the ground floor with the NVIDIA chip. It also lets Android be there in a 64-bit form to then port to whatever Qualcomm has next year.
Right. You have to start. And I'm not going to sit here. I'm not like, you know, some people you see on Twitter, oh, 64-bit. If you're not 64-bit, your phone sucks. 64-bit, there's a few benefits to having it in a smartphone. It's not something we absolutely have to have right now, but 2 years from now, we'll have to have it.
And you've got to start sometime.
Yeah, it's right. And you have to...
Same reason Apple starts in the 5S.
Right, you just have to say, okay, right here, right now, this from this point forward is 64-bit. Everything else, here's a 32-bit version that's kind of the same that'll work for you, but know that one day you're going to have to upgrade your hardware.
Jeff asks, any rational reason to move from a Note 3 to the M8? Talk me off the cliff. It's smaller, I think. Let me check, actually.
It's definitely narrower.
It's smaller.
Yeah, here, I've got them both right here.
I think Note 3, M8. It's one of those things that really just depend on what you want out of a phone.
Yeah.
Because the Note 3 is such... I mean, it's mainstream, but it is a very specialized device with a big screen and the pen input. There's a lot there that you're just not going to get on an M8.
I think if you like something other than the Note, like if you just irrationally like a phone and don't need the S Pen functionality, and again, the S Pen functionality is really good. It's gotten really good in this last iteration. But, I mean, if you don't use it, then, you know, will going to something slightly smaller make that big a difference to you? If that size difference, you know, doesn't make a difference, then by all means, try something. That's what I think.
I think the M8's still going to be here in July, and if you're using a Note 3, you have no dire need to upgrade. And I usually never say wait, but right now at this time of the year, wait. You've got phones from Motorola and LG coming. We know it.
Yeah.
Have a look at them before you spend all your money,
folks. Somebody was just asking me on Twitter too about the LG G3. Is what we assume it will be. I guess The Verge got that retail box, and it said G3. Yeah, I mean that's coming. There's some Antutu benchmark, and we know those can be faked, whatever. But I have reason to believe it wasn't. What do you guys think about this? What was the resolution supposedly on that?
2560 by 1440.
Why? Other than so LG can say they did it, but
yep. Exactly, yeah. And by the way, we've had benchmarks on a Samsung phone. Forget the name. I think it's G906 or something like that. The regular S5 is G900, so it seems like a Galaxy S5 variant with this crazy screen. I think the only reason you really do that is because you can. It's something that you're holding in one hand. That's anything higher than 1080 is just a waste of energy.
Right, and we saw the battery power. With Samsung going from the S4 to the S5, they made huge strides in terms of brightness, colors, clarity, everything on the screen without going up to a higher resolution. I would much rather have those steps in the right direction from the S4 to the S5 than the same quality panel at a higher resolution. It's just not even a comparison to make.
I think the only kind of device that would make sense on is maybe a Note 4 type device. Maybe if you're edging closer towards 6 inches, maybe you want a little bit higher than 1080. But I mean, we're starting to get the point of diminishing returns here, I think.
Yeah, you find me a person who can look at last year's M7, last year's HTC One, turn it on, and tell me that the screen is not good. That's the person that needs 2560 by 1400. I've never found that person.
And honestly say it, you know, like,
right.
It just physically looks bad. Yeah, and yeah.
I think one of the points that was raised for the G3 was that some Asian languages, you needed some very complex characters on there that are difficult to display without a very high pixel density. That is a totally valid reason to have it. But even at that point, I think the current screens that we have with 1440 PPI, it's still... The step from that to the 1440p, the 2K level screens, isn't really gonna. You're not gonna get as much bang for your buck compared to what you get now with 1080.
You know what? We kind of didn't talk about it at all, and I'm not sure we need to, but it's still worth mentioning just the difference between the M8 speakers and everything else out there. And it's kind of like this throwaway line in every review now. Like, yeah, the speakerphone's okay, but it's no M8. I mean, it's not to say that the GS5 was bad, because it's a good speakerphone, but it's no M8.
But yeah, I think that describes it perfectly, because yeah,
two
you pick
different
up
different things at that point, right?
Right. There is nothing. You pick up your phone, if it's not an M7 or an M8, it's nothing like the M7 or M8. Never will be. They are two very different animals.
I think Sony has stereo speakers now. I'll have to check in the Z2. The other manufacturer that's doing it, I think, is Asus with some of the Zenfone devices. I mean, the manufacturer is directly, drawing inspiration from what HTC's been doing, if you want to call it that.
NVIDIA did it with their Note 7. They put two nice, decent speakers pointing towards the front. Huge difference. It makes it a nicer tablet to use to play an immersive game than the Nexus 7 is, all because of those speakers.
What else? What else? What else? Did you guys see the trailer for the podcast this week?
No, I haven't clicked it yet.
Oh, you didn't watch it yet?
No, not yet. I've been busy.
Oh, my God. Can I even show it? We can't do that, like, in here, can we?
Oh, you're going to break something.
You may be able to share your screen. Well. Do it. Do it.
No, can
we
you
haven't
not do,
broken.
Can you not do YouTube and hang out on air? I've never tried.
No, it doesn't look. I would assume that there are copyright implications to that.
Oh, look what I found.
Oh, snap.
Welcome to YouTube and Hangouts.
Oh,
we haven't broken a podcast in weeks.
So how do I find it?
What happens if you put the URL of our live stream in there?
Does it just totally freak out? That would be kind of cool, actually. Let me see if I can find this. Hang on. There it is, right up top. Copy link. All right.
Notice it just...
Here we go.
Ready.
Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
I'm the best smartphone. No, I'm the best one. Me.
Hurry, click. Just click.
Hey, guys, what about me?
How awesome was that?
Very well done.
I didn't get to see anything.
Nope.
No.
I didn't see anything.
I saw it.
I don't know. We're breaking things here.
How do I get out of this? Back. Close.
Click the YouTube button again.
Oh. Hi, I'm back.
Well, everybody else will watch that
how
after.
How did Jerry not see it?
Because I didn't click the YouTube button, I think.
Oh. I don't know what just happened there. Oh, what else? Hey, Sonos got Chromecast support. That makes me excited because it gave me an excuse to finally buy a Sonos and have to explain to my wife how much money I spent. But it's worth it. God, it's so good.
You want me to review this new Sonos Chromecast? Hint, hint.
I'll have to see what I can do. I think I know a guy.
Woohoo!
Works really well. Connect to it just like you do anything else. So, what else? What else? What else?
You want to talk about 443, which we didn't get on Monday?
But Sprint said so.
Apparently, yes, Sprint has pulled that back, and it's now missing from their support thing.
Hmm.
Oops. Well, there's lots of Mondays in a year. They just picked the wrong Monday.
Just the wrong one. It happens.
Well, I mean, we know there's an update coming. We know it's going to fix camera stuff. So, yeah, it'll probably be sooner rather than later. We'll have to wait and see when it crimps up.
Yeah. Last updated yesterday, 2 days after they said it was coming. It happens. It's all right, Sprint. 3 days after they said it was coming. It's okay. Yeah, I mean, all right, it's coming. Oh, yeah, Jedi Butters just asked us about this, too. So, whoopsie. Is that it? Are we done?
Unless there's anything else in the Q&A that jumps out at you.
Hey, by the way, I've got the S-View cover, the S-View flip case. You got to be careful, because I think somebody just called me. I don't want their number to show up on here. I don't know who that is, so it's like, oh, yeah, I do. What's weird is you can take a picture with it. Like, you know, the camera works, so I could take a picture of myself. Oh, how freaky is that?
Well, that's good, though, because, you know, you don't always want to flip it open and have that stuff in the way.
Except when you do this and you take the picture, where's my face? There I am. How do I get down? I can't work backwards like this. Hit the... This is like
I'm kidding. This isn't efficient at all.
Yeah, well, not when you're pointing it the wrong way. But the thing is, it takes it in a 1:1 aspect ratio so that it will fit in this window.
Oh, well, that's...
But you don't actually get the full...
I take that back. That's it.
That's awesome.
Garbage.
I love it.
I'm just
perfect for Instagram.
Why did you do that? And then you don't get any of the effects or anything. Well, it's just,
I know why they did it, because you can't see what you're taking a picture of. Only... You can only see that much of it. They don't want to. I mean, what
well,
if you're
based on the Nexus for like the last 4 years? But he's
right. Well, and you know, how many times did something get in a photo that you didn't want in there?
Every time.
I can see why they did it, Phil. It makes sense to me. It's still funny.
Fix your stuff.
Fix it for Phil, but leave it like it is for Jerry. So make an S view case that the entire front of the screen is S view. Take just an S view case without the flap, and there you go. Have the entire.
I think you just described the battery door there, Jerry.
Yeah.
It's a nice case. Like other than that, and I'm still not a case guy though. I've been trying to.
It does hold it back up again.
It's really nice. So it doesn't. It does have the stitching. So it has the stitching. It doesn't have the dimples. It feels really nice.
Is that sucker leather?
Yeah, this is like the soft touch leather, whatever.
Bravo, Samsung.
Oh yeah, no, it's $50. It's not cheap, but it's really nice. My only problem with these is that window just gunks up so bad,
mm-hmm.
and you know, gets fingerprints and just it makes the rest of it look really crappy. You can get one without the window. They call it, I think, the wallet case. It's really nice. This does still do NFC, I believe.
Yeah, NFC is built into the battery.
Yeah. So it's got the little antenna connections. Really, really nice accessory. So we've got plenty more on that coming, too. I think I'm done. It's Friday.
Sing it.
Which one?
No.
Sing Friday.
No.
Come on.
Thank you.
You sang last week.
I did, and I regret it a little bit.
I didn't. I loved it.
I could just talk like this in the... rest of the podcast. It freaks my kids out when I do that. Daddy, stop talking like that. If you'd like to leave us an email, you can do it at podcast@androidcentral.com. I mean, it sounds like Mr. Bill. Hi, Jerry. Oh, no. All right. I think we're done now.
Definitely.
Now I think we're done.
Save us.
When Mr. Bill shows up, you know it's time to go. All right. Well, if you do... Oh, I do have one email I want to read. Damn it. We were almost out of here. Dick asks, I don't recall any recent discussions about app permissions, so I thought I'd raise the subject. I'm personally fairly laid back about them, assuming perhaps naively that if an app comes from Google Play that it must be okay, especially if it's getting consistently good reviews. But sometimes when I take the time to look at an app, what an app is asking me to permit, I think either that looks a bit sinister. That's a great word, by the way. Oh, he's British. That's why. That looks a bit... Alex, say it. Say that looks a bit sinister.
That looks a bit sinister.
Yes. Nice. Or I just wonder why on earth they need to have a particular permission, as it doesn't appear to be linked to what the app does. So what about you? Are you worried by permissions? Do you even look at them? Have you ever decided not to install an app because you don't like something on its list of permissions? That dude put it perfectly, I think, right?
Yep.
It's... When something gets submitted to Google Play, it goes up, not instantly, but pretty damn close, right? And we've seen, not all the time, but you see enough instances where an app, you know, will declare permission. And that's kind of how you need to think of it, right, Jerry? It's not asking your permission to do these things. It is declaring that it has permission to do these things.
Right. Your only choice is to not install. It's not asking you.
And that's, you know, a long-standing thing. People would rather... probably say yes or no for each one, and I get that. It's a very valid argument.
Yeah.
I don't know. You let people say yes or no for each one, then all you have is broken apps and poor reviews, because you listening to this podcast, unless you're a developer, you don't understand permissions.
And they're still explained very poorly
right.
in the apps themselves. You know what I do is look for an app description in Google Play and see if they explain the permissions right there. That's really how you should do it.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, a perfect example that I have used to people that wonder why permissions are sound so scary. Do you know if you don't want your phone to turn off while you're playing a game that the game needs to know your phone state and identity?
Right.
It's poorly worded. Google has bundled permissions together that may not necessarily need to be together. You know, they should split some of them out, and maybe they will. But the worst part is there is no documentation geared for the user that you can go read a page from Google that says, why does Real Racing 3 need to know my phone state and identity? And then there's a nice little explanation there.
But I think there's always going to be the argument that needs to come from the developer.
Yeah, and a lot of developers
in any situation with permissions.
We do. Phil has done an excellent job describing why we need the permissions we do for our app. And he's also done an excellent job making sure that no extra permissions are there. We value your privacy as much as we can, and we don't want something stupid to slip in, so we worry about it. But sometimes you have to be able to access protected SD card storage if you want to put a thumbnail on your SD card or your internal storage. It's just a big scary word is attached to it that does more harm than good.
Yeah, and we've had people ask us, you know, why do you need this or that? Or somebody emailed last night asking about being able to read your contacts or phone calls.
On the Chase app.
Right, on the Chase Bank. And the answer is generally, well, because it wants to be able to send itself, basically to send an email to Chase if you have a problem
right.
or to help you call Chase. You know, I mean, ultimately, it's a permission needed to help you do something very simple. But the permission itself just sounds scary.
You want the Chase app to be able to use that intent to fire off an email.
Yeah.
Being able to use that intent means they have to ask if they're allowed to use that intent. Or, like we said, let you know that they will be using that intent.
Here's another one, another email that really we should have talked about last week or the week before. Carrie asks, hey guys, I'm an iPhone user who loves Android. I really enjoy the great work you do. Keep it up.
Woohoo.
Oh, wait, he wrote more. My wife uses an Alcatel Android phone and it's running Android 4.1.1. They are not known for their quick updates and it may probably never get one. So where does that leave her in terms of the Heartbleed problems? That's the big OpenSSL bug that we've been talking about for 2 weeks now. Is a new device her only option?
Was 4.1.1 the version that was affected?
That was the version.
I thought so.
Yeah.
You know what? Go to your carrier. If you're still on contract, go to your carrier and say, hi, I've got this phone I'm still paying for, and it is inherently insecure and requires a software update. Let them take it from there. You might walk out with a new Galaxy S4 or something. If I were your carrier, I would be worried about your privacy online. I hope your carrier is.
I'm trying to think whether we know any carriers that sell Alcatel phones on contract.
I think some might on prepaid here. I'm trying to remember. By the way, HTC has said on the record that, hey, we know about this. We still have some older phones, and not that old, like from, you know,
yep.
2 years ago. They're still on 4.1. We're going to see what we can do about updating them. So,
and see, they do not require an entire system update. There is no excuse if the person who made your phone or the person who sold you your phone says they can't update it, there is no excuse. Remember that the next time you spend your money. Because it's just a few files that would need updated, and it could be a very small OTA that they could send right out.
Now I think we're done. For real.
Now the carriers hate me.
Well, not anymore. More. They already did.
Well, I was going to say, they didn't love me before, so.
All right, well, as we are every week, every single week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158. shopandroid.com. They got a whole bunch of GS5 stuff either in store or on pre-order. We've got a bunch of it on the way, so we're going to take a look at it. In fact, I think I just had some more show up. And, you know, I'll probably be giving away a lot of GS5 stuff soon because it's just going to be
cool.
Too much laying around here. So that's fun. That's good. You can get a hold of us all on Google+. It's usually the best place to search our name. Some of us are on Twitter as well. Go find us there. Follow the show. Follow the site. Subscribe to the show. RSS and all that stuff. Just go to androidcentral.com/RSS. If you haven't yet, it's all there. Absolutely all there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's also very important because if you don't subscribe, you won't be subscribed.
Subscribe or we'll kill this kitten.
Stop it. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, thank you, guys.
Phil. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you very much.
Everybody at home, thank you, guys. What's going on next week? Is there anything going on?
Another Friday.
No, I think it's just back to the grind next week. We got Gear Fit and Gear Neo 2 stuff to do. So that's coming up. So look forward to it. Go forth. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. All that good stuff. Any other holidays?
Sunday. For some people. Just Sunday.
Just Sunday. For everybody else, have a good weekend. All right, that's it. We're out of here.
Later.
See you later.
Toodaloo.